Well, hello everybody. This is me again. I'm Expat coming in from Belfast in Northern Ireland, and we have
Zai from Toronto, Canada. And
yeah,
this,
and this is
the
Zine Zone. We are back. It takes us a while to come back, but this time it's my fault. It's the summer, or it was the summer, I guess. And then because of the nature of my work, I need to take vacation. So I went a little bit to Bergen in Norway for a festival, metal festival called Beyond the Gates, for those who know metal festivals. Then I came back, worked a little bit in Belfast, and then went back again to Edinburgh, where I went to the Fringe Festival, checking out some nice shows that got me out of my comfort zone. As always, I went to one with HDHD, one about a transgender person's story, and I went one with the drag queens fighting vampires. It was so funny. I recommend anybody who come to Scotland to go to the Fringe Festival. And then after that, I went to Glasgow in Scotland to the festival. It's called the Core Festival. And at the festival, I check out some bands, and they had a little market where I met a few folks that I acquired. I got some zines that I will be reviewing today. But that's why we are late in the game. After our last episode, it looks like it's taking more, but I think it's better something than nothing. What you been up to, Zai, in the past few weeks?
I've been working.
Wow.
That's yes, I think I shared this last time. I've returned to work, and I've been working.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
The stuff going on at work.
Awesome. That's important. Work, make some money, and then have fun. Work, make some money, have fun. That's what I always do. So that being said, we have a few reviews today. I'm going to get ahead started. I'm going to be first today to do the reviews. But in order to talk about the review is coming from a person who reached out on our social media, Instagram. We got a message from somebody whose Instagram is Hikikomori. And Hikikomori's Instagram profile, you can find them at Hikikomori_ED in Instagram. And they sent me an email saying that they wanted to send some stuff to review. And I was like, sure, not a problem. Send whatever stuff you have. So I sent them my address here in the UK. And then I finally got it. So Hikikomori, it's, I guess, a place where they do fanzines and why not. So I got this first fanzine that I'm showing it to Zai so they can have a look at it. But also we will be posting photographs of the fanzine always on our social media for you to see it. And the title of this fanzine is called Theoretical Underground Volume 1. By Hikomori, Hikomori, Ed, I guess. And this is, as I said, Theoretical Underground Volume 1. It says that it features artists from all around the world, or more like from underground world. And it is a half-page black and white fanzine featuring different people from different places, I guess. And then as I open the fanzine, you can tell the number of people who is featured in the fanzine. We have Henry Jeppelt, Paul Kortjohn, Generation of Scum, Hikikomori themselves, Brian Von Gall, and Bad Seed. So it's almost 18 pages of different types of comic style drawings and stories related to different things about like comic style, as I said. Stunning and seamless images, easy to be understood. And they said that this fanzine, which I love it, is limited to 50 copies, and I was the lucky one, number 8, that got this particular copy. On the back, we have a little drawing of like a house with different people, like schematics of a house, you know, like their architecture of house, and it says technical underground. And there is a place that you can know more information about. This is one bat dot seed. And then the number of my fanzine, number 8 out of 50, is in the back. So, as I said, there are different types of drawings and different types of stories that we have here in this one, particularly. So, number one from Henry Jepelt is 57 Anifa. And you can see that there is like a, how should I say, like a, I would say like a robot maybe, like the face is coming out, but there are like cables coming out of their body. And it's sort of like is deforming the face. And it doesn't have any text at all. It's just more like for you to see that it looks like a monster coming out of like a body, and then you can see at the end that there's like a body coming, like a monster coming out of the body. I like this apocalyptic sort of science fiction kind of thing. And then the last thing that it says is in Italian, and it says morendo lentamente per 57 anni, which I think it is dying slowly for or by 57 years. And then the person says, aspettando, like waiting, and then l'ultimo abbraccio. So the last hug, it says at the bottom, or the last breath, I guess. L'ultimo abbraccio. So I like this one because it's in Italian. You know, I am very, I like when they come with different types of languages. And then the second one, comic, it's by Paul Corjon. I think we have Paul Corjon before here. If not, it's the story of about an extraterrestrial trying to come to planet Earth, and then it looks like it's dumping some waste, extraterrestrial waste, on planet Earth. And then people are like, no, why are you dumping your waste in my eyes? And it's so funny because the last one is trash planet. So it's like they have used planet Earth as the place to trash the intergalactic trash. The one that I like the most is this drawing about a dude with tons of
Oh,
ice
yes.
in their head. And I like this one because it has a lot of weird shit going on in here. So that's why I like this one. And there are others. There is one that is a little rock that is following other rocks. And see, it's like just interesting things that you never expect this. And the rocks are sort of talking to a banana. See?
Oh yes, the bananas wearing sunglasses.
Yes, it says go grocery shopping. And the banana says, nice, see ya. Hey, you're back. What did you buy? And the banana brought banana bread. But then the banana is smoking weed or something with a bong.
Oh yeah,
That's
that's a lot of smoke.
lot of smoke. And then the last one by Brian Von Gold, 2023, is Worst Friends Forever in Fool Me Once. So this one is funny because in June 27, a woman comes to a man and says, Imagine that it says happy fall, and then the guy says, oh, but it's only Jude, and then she pushes him and then he falls. That's why she says happy fall.
Ah.
But then it's September 22nd, and then he's gonna do the same trick to somebody else, and he says happy fall, and he says to himself, I don't think I'm gonna fall in this trap again, and then he kicks the other person's in the face, punch him in the face. And that's pretty much it of this one. Thank you so much, Hikikomori, for sending us this today. I really like very simple drawing, simple comics that you understand them, that you don't have to think too much about them. For me, it's essential because as a person with ADHD, I need to have these things that are simple and easy to read, but also fun and sometimes out of this world, meaning like you don't necessarily know what this is about. So again, if you want to find them, just go to Hikikomori underscore et on Instagram. Or the email is the same, hikikomori.ed at gmail.com. We'll be putting photos of this work on our Instagram pages and Facebook pages. So that's it for me now. I'm going to pass it on to Zai because they're going to tell us what is that you're bringing today.
The zines are how I got over my fear of spiders and why I like to pee outside by Amanda Stevens.
And both are by the same person.
Yes, by Amanda Stevens.
Okay, good.
They are both quarter size. They're both quarter size for zines, black and white photocopy, handwritten. With all drawings by Amanda, except the cover of How I Got Over My Fear of Spiders, which was drawn by Brian Rose. What I like about both of these zines is how Amanda's lived experiences became art. Both signs are very creatively made. Not only that, they are guides, tools, or suggestions on how to do the same through Amanda's lived experiences. The zines spark ideas and they are really awesome as hell. I'll read some pages from how I got over my fear of spiders. When I was 24, I went to New Zealand. I went to live in New Zealand for a year. I moved into a house with two wonderful people who didn't believe in killing spiders because they were Buddhists. As a result, our house was full of spiders. I reckon we had 50 to 100. Every corner was covered in cobwebs where at least three spiders lived. I respected my flatmate's beliefs and saw living there as a good opportunity to get over my fear of spiders. I did, however, ask one of my flatmates to remove all of the spiders from my room. We would put the spiders in jars and then take them outside. And here is a spider in a jar. It was really scary at first, though. I was especially scared of the shower. One or two spiders always lived above the shower head and would always come down when I ran the water. I guess they thought they had caught something in their web. I was terrified that a spider would fall into the water and get on me or be washed down the drain. I think my fear of spiders also had something to do with the fear of hurting something so little and vulnerable. But after a while, I got used to living with all those spiders. They were mainly the kind of spider that's not a daddy long legs, but is like a daddy long legs with a small body and long legs. I especially like that spiders caught other bugs in their webs. I grew fascinated with watching spiders feed on their prey. As far as I could tell, they would immobilize their prey and then eat it over a period of days. I wondered about spider relations and social structures. How did they decide who gets to live in which corner? Did they mind sharing a web with other spiders? If a bug got caught in the web, which spider got to eat it? The spiders all seemed pretty easygoing. I never saw them fight over food or space. I'm just going to read some from Why I Like to Pee Outside. So, Why do I like peeing outside? Well, I wasn't always like this. For most of my life, I feared and avoided it, mainly because I didn't know how to do it without peeing on my pants and or shoes. I envy people who had penises and could pee anywhere. I thought maybe I'd get one of those spouts that made peeing outside easier for people with vulvas. But then I figured out how to do it. I can't remember if someone taught me or I just learned from practicing after spending a lot of time camping and at music festivals where bathrooms were often scarce or gross. I also started wearing skirts a lot. At first, I would take off my underwear and squat and pee until I got the technique down and was able to just pull down my underwear instead of taking them off. Here's how I do it. One, pull down your pants or underwear to your knees and pull up your skirt if necessary. Two, crouch down low to the ground with your feet about hip width apart. Three, stick your bum out behind you so that your pants and underwear are far in front where the pee will come out. You may need to hold your pants away from you. Four, pee. Some tips to try while you're learning this technique. Hold on to a tree to make it easier to lean back. And there's some drawings that accompany. Sit on a log with your bum hanging over the other side. Now that I know how to do it properly, I love peeing outside. It's a bit of a thrill. It feels slightly transgressive and unladylike, especially when there's a possibility of being seen doing it. It also makes me feel like I'm getting back to my natural animal self. And it's usually a cleaner pee when I pee outside because the pee shoots out in the stream with nothing in its way. There's usually no need to wipe or using a leaf is sufficient. Amanda Stevens can be reached at redheadwalking@yahoo.com. Photos of the zines and contact info for Amanda will be shared on our social media.
Well, very interesting how to pee outside. Very graphic. So if anybody should get this fanzine, if you really want to know how the steps on how to pee outside as a person with a vulva, as you mentioned,
Yes,
I don't have
or to
that
have to.
problem.
Or getting over the fear of spiders, like wondering about spider relations and social structures, and that spiders all seem pretty easygoing. How about peeing outside?
Oh well, as a cisgender straight man with a penis, I guess it's so easy to pee outside. It's so easy, and I usually don't do this. Most of it has to be like an emergency, like a really emergency, and I don't find anything because I usually go either try to find a cafe or a store or something, and I ask them, "Can I go to the washroom?" But when there are a few occasions in which you actually need to go, like I just find that, well, there's that wall around the corner. Nobody's there. So I'm just going to do it behind the dumpster or something like that. I think I've done it a few times. But I noticed the easier, like it's easier for us to do that. I'm not sure how a person with a vulva would be difficult to do. I mean, it would be easy for to just knee like sit down and do it, but it's more beyond the actual act of doing it. It's more about the socialization of how wrong is that, and perhaps are more vulnerable in a sense that if some creep would see a person doing that, might get in trouble. Whereas we the men, we are like fuck it all, we don't care. I would imagine that a person with a vulva might have some trouble and maybe more vulnerable to do this in the outside compared to a
Well,
man.
it's possible that going against socialization
Exactly.
can help with that as well.
Exactly. So yeah. So now it's my turn to talk about my second. And this one I'm talking about. Yeah, I also got it at the Paperclips Library, fanzine library or library for folks in the LGBT community, and I got it this one on that bookstore Paperclips. It's a half page pink paper color, And the title is Fantasy Partners by Two Polyam Queers. And I like it because it has a collage style in the back, but also the whole zine, it's a collage style. And it looks like it presents different characters in each one of the pages, and you have to find what each character is about. So I like it, and I always wonder if it is all like when I was reading this, I wonder if it was a story about the partners who are happen to be two polyam queers, and I thought it was like a story of two polyam, but it is not necessarily like that. It's more like, as you can see,
No.
more like color, like you know, like this type of collages in which they cut up little pieces of magazines and then stick them with pieces of letters and phrases, etc. And this is also done by Pegged Press, and the art is made again by Helen Gomez Cartoons. And it's I like this style. I have learned to love this style. The what is it, the cutouts and the pieces there, here and there. Like I said, this fanzine is the title itself, Fantasy Partners by Two Polyam Queers. I thought, okay, there's a story of these two queer people who are going to tell us about their fantasy partners. But I guess each one of the pages is a fantasy partner, meaning that page number one is an elf and is describing the elf, like androgynous beauty, keen of grinder hookups, Scottish love lifestyle in the rich way, has a pet toad, he, him, lesbian, draws tentacle hentai. And then the next character, it's a cat. Let's see if I can show you. Or enchanted cat lady. No, it's a cat lady. So that's another, I guess this is another fantasy partner. I guess it's somebody who you fantasize. A cat lady, bougie, French, arch femme, Crabtree House, runs the apothecary, Piss King. So there is a bunch of cats. And then there's the enchanted lady, enchantress lady. So, you know, very bourgeois. So the next one, I'm gonna tell you all of them because I really like each one of the characters. And one of the characters, I guess, is the fantasy partner. The next one is the gamer mermaid. Anima fetish, speed runs Dark Souls, volunteers at the BTRC. And I at this point I needed to Google what the BTRC is, and it's the Belfast Trans Resource Center. So I guess one of the fantasy partners is this gamer mermaid. And I believe it is like a trans person, this one.
Yes.
Right? It says trans and nerdy, and there is a whale around here. It's like a mermaid. So I guess a fantasy, the fantasy person, it's a mermaid, gamer mermaid. And another fantasy partner is the cowboy. You can see the cowboy there. The cowboy is unshamed cowboy king, tallest, dirty, an Irish ghost hunter, cottagecore lifestyle in a more involved way. It is a gender envy or sexual attraction and loves to code. And it's a nice, handsome, the cowboy. Let me see. Let me tell you another. There are a few more. Another one is the orc. I didn't know what an orc is, but whatever, it's like a green creature. I think a lot of people know about orcs. I
Yes,
don't know what an orc is, but it says it's a drummer, competitive weightlifter, hates the GIC, not touched up, out abusers, loves drag, hates RuPaul. And it says, I firmly believe the love of Butch would heal me. Stone Cold Butch. Butch, Butch. How do you pronounce this? Zai Butch or Butch?
Butch.
Okay, so that's what this is, another fantasy partner, the orc. Then the next one is a robot slut. As you can see, it's robots.
I'm really liking these fantasy partners.
Yeah, I like these things. I really love how they put together all of these weird things that, like I said, it always takes me out of my my comfort zone. And this fantasy, sorry, this robot slot is in the mid 30s, good life experience, no childhood trauma to unpack. Thank God. Delta Blues guitarist keeps in touch with excess bionic jackhammer penis. Wow. My God. And then the last and the back page is just photos of people there that are somehow blurred. I don't see them very well, but it says produced by Shady Art, Helen Gomez Cartoons, and please contact Helen Gomez on Instagram. I want to do my own zine about who are my favorite or my fantasy partners, who I want them to be. All that I know is that I always fantasize about a woman with red lipstick and a red dress. I think that's how it is. I think it is. Red lipstick, red dress, probably red high heels as well.
No, I am just starting to think about my fantasy partner.
You know one, you know someone who could be potentially, because it's fantasy at the end of the day, we never know, but but these ones for them, the two polyam queers, like the fantasy partners, is like, how in the hell are we gonna get a freaking robot slut? There is no way we can get a robot slut, maybe, unless, I mean, we never know. Or an
There's always a possibility.
but how about an orc or a gamer mermaid? These are really fantasy. My fantasy partner is I mean, I can go to a flamenco show and find my fantasy partner there with a nice red dress and a nice red flower on the back of the ear, red lipstick. Did you think of somebody, Shai? Somebody, if you want.
I really like the cut and paste style and the way that the zines were done, and it's got me thinking about coming up with like an idea of like how to do something similar for like a fantasy partner for myself.
Let me know. I mean, if you ever do it, let us know so we can do it. I mean, showcase it here. Okay, so let's
Okay.
move on to the next one. I think Zai has another zine for us, right?
Yes.
Go ahead, let us know.
The zine is What is Punk?
Oh my God, that's my thing. What is punk? What is punk, anyways?
By Jessica Babinek. I
What is
hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
punk?
The zine is quarter size. Done in computer font, pink computer font,
Wow, look at pink computer font.
with some handwriting on the back cover. I think it's on white or light pink paper. The zine opens up. What I like about the zine is how not only punk it is or isn't. Question mark, but how the manifest-ish can be read as a Z or as like expat said, a poster
Nice.
with the manifest-ish typed on the poster too.
Right.
I think my mind was blown a bit to the choices as to just read it or hang it and read it or come up with some more choices, because why box it in? I'll read a couple of pages from the zine. Punk is contradiction, both hopeful and nihilistic. Punk thrives on disagreement. Punk is resourceful. Punk finds value in everything, even when it has holes in it, especially when it has holes in it. Punk is dirty. Punk wonders, who taught you that being clean is a good thing? Punk is a hairstyle, and also it isn't. Punk is a way of dressing while acknowledging that clothes have little to do with ideology and everything to do with pushing people apart. Punk invites you to exist in your disgusting, multifaceted everything. Punk invites you to sit with us. Punk does not take more than it needs unless what it needs is beer. Punk does not hate money because money is useful in the current state of things. Punk wants to burn down the current state of things. Punk screams from the crowd, not only from a podium. Punk screams about pain, personal and collective. Punk knows it's the same fucking thing. Sometimes the screaming looks like burning down. Sometimes we burn ourselves down, mistaking ourselves for what hurts us. Sometimes all punk does is drink itself sick. Punk wakes up the next day and wants to do something more. Might be late afternoon, but still it wakes up. Punks hold each other up. More than anything, we hold each other up. We speak to each other gently and loudly, but always with compassion. We hold each other up because we are being crushed, all of us, always, all of us. Disagree with punk. That's punk as fuck. Punk is deeply judgmental of corporations and their governments, all oppressors, any human who tries to convince another human being out of their inherent value. The difference is punk does something with that judgment. Punk fucking does something with its anger. Punk fucking does something about it. Punk refuses. Punk takes it all in. Punk uses the fragility of its body to get you to listen. On the back, it says copy and disseminate. A manifest dish for 2019. If you don't like it, write your own. So that's just some a couple of pages from this zine. Jessica Bebenek can be reached at www.jessicabebenek.art or at Not Your Muse. Photos of the zine and contact info for Jessica will be shared on our social media.
Well, what a great attitude. That's what I love about punk, the attitude of if you don't like it, you can write yourself your own zine. So fuck it.
Yes.
I like that's the attitude of punk. I love the fact that they did it in pink font. That's the first thing that I like. In my experience in fanzines for more than 20 plus years, I think I have not seen, I've seen that in red. The font in red, the font in yellow, black, obviously, but in pink. I think this is the first time I see such thing like that. And that's very, very punky, a very punk attitude to do something out of the norm. And that's exactly what punk should be about. Taking something out of the norm. And speaking about punk and music, the next and last section is about is the shout out, not necessarily the Instagram shout out, but in general a shout out. As I was saying earlier, and if I didn't say it earlier, I was in Glasgow last week, I think. And in Glasgow there is the punk hardcore noise music, but noise not in the sense of noise music, but music that noise in the sense of that it's sort of it's not mainstream. In a sense. So this is the festival is called a celebration of noise, and the festival is called Core and a dot at the end. There is another festival called Core without the little dot at the end. So I was a little bit confused. So there were a bunch of bands like punk, hardcore, noise, black metal, post-punk, post-rock. It's a very new genres pushing the boundaries in music, and that's what I like that festival specifically for that reason, because it pushes the boundaries and the binaries of what it means to be in the punk scene or in the hardcore scene or in the black metal scene. So it's like sometimes it blends these different things, and I like that attitude. They had a little market, like an independent market at one of the venues, and it was called the Independent Market Hall for different types of merchants. And I got the chance to, oh well, before saying that, as I was going through different stalls, which is they have t-shirts, they have posters, they have vinyl music, cassette tapes, and as you can imagine, my audience already knows that my love for vinyl records. So I bought like a probably around £300 on records.
Wow.
When I go to these events, I get crazy. And I like this, I like that, I like this. So I came back home with a tote bag full of records that I'm not buying more the rest of the year. But I bought the records of the bands that were playing there. And as I was walking by, what got me attracted was a little table that has sort of like fanzines, but they also had like toys, like plush toys. There were others that were like sort of pillows, I guess. And I was like, what is this weird thing? And as you know, in my audience, you know that I like weird things. So I was like, what is this thing? So I started looking at them, and I was like, oh, they also have different types of fanzines. And what attracted me the most was one of the fanzines was Baphomet. And if you don't know, Baphomet is very well known in the black metal and in Satanism to be supposed to be the devil, to be supposed to be dark and evil and whatever. So I was walking by, I saw it.
Ooh.
Baphomet. But then as I was getting closer,
Oh.
it was not Baphomet, but it is called Baphometa or Baphomira.
Can I see the first one again?
The female version of Baphomet.
Are those cats at the bottom?
Yes, there are some cats at the bottom. So I picked up, so I was looking at these, and these are called, I'll tell you, poster track. I'll explain to you in a moment what a poster track is, because that's what they explained to me. So this is Baphometa, and they have two little cats at the bottom, which
It
that's what
almost looks
I
like
attracted to them. Was that?
a tarot card.
Yes, right? Like the devil in the tarot card, right? Remember, the devil
Yes.
has two lions or two tigers, I forgot. But you're right. I think it mimics that tarot card. And the second one is sort of similar, that it has the world underneath, and then there's like the moon up and down, as above, so below, the typical iconography of Baphomet.
Yeah,
But
and
this one,
I'm guessing they're dressed in leather.
yes, they're probably leather or at least black attires. Baphometa in one of the posters has wings, and in one of the poster has the evil wings, like the devil wings, and the other one is more like angel wings. So I got attracted to this, and then when you open it, it's like a poster, as you can see.
Ooh.
Really cool, because Baphometa is promoting this. I'll show you.
Satanic panic.
So this is what they call tracts. And I don't know if you know, in the streets when you're walking by in events, there is these Christian people who hand you these little
Yes.
stories of Jesus
Yes.
and quotes from the Bible, right?
Yes.
So what they did is they mimic the same idea of that tract with cartoons, right? As you can see, cartoons and the stories of how you have to behave or not behave, and quoting the Bible. But in this, I'm not going to read the story because it will take me too much. But then Baphometa comes into place, and unlike the evil, Baphometa is not evil. Is more like a regular Baphomet person helping and supporting folks out there and defending them. And she complains that all the evil in the war is always pointed at her, as if she were the evil in the world. But she's not. So all of these are the stories of her and why evil things happen to people. And then apparently everybody keeps blaming her. And she says she has a message. So I'm going to read the message that she says. She says, "You people are crazy. You would be less ill if you took responsibility for your own actions instead of making me your scapegoat." So you crazy people, always blaming me for all your actions. So that's this whole the whole story about this is sort of People are doing evil things and always blaming her for being what she is. But at the end, she's actually helping people. So I highly recommend to buy this one. It's called The Satanic Panic, and it's made by David Dunlop. And that's when I met him at this marketplace or this little market. And then we have a little conversation. I believe they are from Belfast, but they live in Glasgow right now. And then hopefully they get to listen to this podcast. So this is a shout out for the work that they do. Really wonderful work that they have on their Instagram, because they like I said, they also sell plush toys and other little things that they should pay attention to. And their Instagram is David with a T at the end, Dunlop, Dunlop. And they have tons of things to sell. It looks like they often go to different zine fairs in Edinburgh and Glasgow. So at some point, I'm going to pay them a visit when I go back to Glasgow or Edinburgh. And maybe one of my goals, since I am here, and if is to go to Edinburgh or Glasgow when they do zine fairs and represent the zine zone over there, bring some of our catalog, and then just promote this in this part of the world. And hopefully Zai accompany us in the year in the future, some far in the future, when they
Yes.
can actually come to this part of the world. So hopefully
Yes.
we make it a trip at some point in the future. That's the whole
Yes.
plan.
Yes, that's one of the goals.
Because I told David that I sort of represent or read things from the UK, Europe, and then you sort of get so things from the American continent.
Yes.
So if anybody's hearing this today and you feel like to send us anything, so send things to an expat if you are in the UK, Ireland, or Europe in general, and send things to Zai if you are in the United States or Canada or anywhere in the American continent. Just send it to them and just send us a message on through Instagram, and then we'll receive it. We're happy to read. We are too happy to have a conversation
Yes,
with
or even if you don't live in any of those
yes,
areas, yes, send us
anywhere
stuff.
on the planet,
Yes.
anywhere, just let us know. We want to know more. And the last thing, I just wanted to preview what the David Dunlop does that I'm not going to review, because like I said, we don't have time. They gave me this one, which is My Mom Is Dead. He's got another one that is called Martin. It's a little cat, yellow cat.
Ooh.
And there is another one called Beauty Is in the Eye of the Beholder. And I like this one because it's about we are individual that I'm not going to talk to. Ooh, Beauty Is in the Eye of the Beholder. So go to their website, buy their stuff, support them as much as they can. That's
There's so many zines that I need to look at when I get there.
Oh yes, there's so many. There's so many that we have so little time. So we are a little getting closer to the end, unless Zai wants to say anything today before we close.
Thank you for listening, listeners.
Yes, thank you for listening. Thank you. I know it's been a while.
Yes.
I know it's a month, but we're gonna try to do as much. It's not that we don't want to, it's we get busy and then unfortunately things happen. But we're gonna try to
Yes.
come as much as possible. And we don't wanna send the wrong message that we're gonna be consistent, because we might not be consistent, but we will like to do this and once in a while come back and tell you the stories behind our work and what we do and our fascination for fanzines, right?
Yes, is there anything you'd like to add
No, that's pretty much it.
besides
Thank you
that?
for coming. We'll see you next time. Hopefully, you pay attention to the fanzines that we have reviewed for today and give them a good word. All right, so that's it for today. I am Expat.
And I'm Zai
And this is the view.
Zero. See you next time.